Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We're going to review The Fall Guy for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Stranger with them for this brand new, so brand new in fact, Wayne, as we've just discovered, this has been released in Australia only.
Which hardly ever happens.
The first time ever. We are coming to you in the North American listeners, having seen a film which is not readily available, at least at time of recording. This is directed by David Leitch and written by Drew Pearce. It's based on the Fall Guy TV series by Glenn A. Larson, which starred, of course, Lee Majors.
And Heather Locklear.
From like the late 70s, was it? Or was it early 80s?
I loved it. I loved it when it was on. It was the early 80s, I would say.
Early 80s. That sounds more like it. It stars Rai Rai Goz Goz. I'm angry at myself. I'm sorry. Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Hannah Waddingham, Teresa Palmer, Stephanie Sue, and Winston Duke. It does get released in America May 3rd, out here April 24th, 126 minutes long. The budget, Wayne, what do you reckon?
All right, you know what? I think Hollywood's had enough of its $200 million budgets. So correct. What if we say, a little stunt here, how about a hundy?
Not bad. $125 million for this particular one. Wayne, tell us what it's about.
Okay. After leaving the business, the stunt person business for 1 year, battle-scarred stuntman Colt Sievers springs back into action when the star of a big studio movie suddenly disappears. And then the sudden, you know, the mystery that surrounds the missing actor starts deepening. He finds himself ensnared in some sinister plot shit. It literally ends up him being an impromptu bounty hunter, which is what Colt Sievers was in the TV show. And it all culminates from there. He's also in love with the director, who is Emily Blunt, and that's why he's in love with her, because she's Emily Blunt.
That made so much sense until the last two sentences of your plot synopsis, where it all completely fell to pieces.
Which is often how it works with me.
All right, so reception-wise, the bona fide paid critics, 89% of only 55 critics thus far, are positive, with an average rating of 8.2 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. On Metacritic, always harsher, this has an assigned weighted average of 78 out of 100 based on 18 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. Of course, because there is no release to the North Americas, no cinema score to compare with there. Now, I want to say a big thanks to Tegan and Evie from Universal,
who are very personable.
Yes, they are very personable. Universal Pictures Australia for the invite to this advanced screen, which was a big affair. There was lots of things, including Dirty Margaritas.
Oh, yeah, we love Evie and we love Dirty Margaritas.
Yeah, and a wonderful, wonderful job that they did there. A great screening. Every seat was filled, and maybe I'll be able to say words eventually.
Paul's had a few dirty margaritas.
No, I've had one beer, although admittedly on no food.
There you go.
Okay, then Wayne, without any further ado then, this was your most anticipated film of 2024.
It really was.
We've shot your load early, which sounds weird in many ways now that I reflect on that statement.
But I wanted to, yeah, absolutely.
What did you think of The Fall Guy?
I loved it. I love The Fall Guy, ladies and gentlemen. Here we have a show that had trailers which actually promised the thing you actually got. It didn't promise more. It didn't promise less. In fact, a lot of the gags in the trailers were not in the movie, much to my chagrin, because I really wanted the ice crime joke to actually be in the movie. Oh, it's great. There's this whole scene where in the trailer, I'll tell you this, Ryan Gosling is talking, because it's set in Australia, because like it's whatever,
Sydney.
Right? In Sydney, right? Because that's where they're shooting the movie. You can tell from the trailer that someone is found dead in a bathtub full of ice. So he's talking to a cop and he's like, I'm reporting an ice crime. And the cop goes, an ice crime. Yeah, sorry, your accent. What is an ice crime? Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not reporting an ice cream. I'm reporting. They're making Aussie gag jokes, which I love. All right. Okay. So, and that wasn't in the movie, so they cut it out. So this is one of those times where they actually blew some loads in the trailer that they didn't put in the movie. So
that does happen more often than you think, actually.
Yeah, I know. But like, here's the thing.
Frozen Empire.
But that was because they were like trying to. I don't know. It was. The fact that they didn't keep, you know, that great joke in the movie for me was like, oh, they had other things to do.
Great joke.
I thought it was a great joke. Okay. Look at the trailer, everyone. You'll see. The great things about this film for me was I loved how authentic the relationship was that the two leads had. Like, it's kind of a little bit, it's not a rom-com at all, but.
Oh, it absolutely is a rom-com. What are you talking about?
You reckon?
Yeah. This is a rom-com first
Fuck
and foremost.
Off. This is an action movie with a romantic twist.
Boy, if this is an action movie, it goes way worse than it would have as a romantic comedy with action moments.
Really?
Absolutely. There's action. Don't get me wrong. It's an action rom-com, if you will, but it's absolutely a rom-com.
Okay, I didn't pick it that way. I just thought that was an element of the movie. It wasn't
the whole through line of this film is will they, won't they?
I suppose, but it's not a rom-com at all. It's an action
movie.
Just
wants you to get your meat cute.
Yeah, there you go. There was no meet cute because they were already met and they were already cute. So I see what you mean. Okay, we'll put it this way. This is a 80s TV show movie, okay? The exact type of action you get in this film is the same type as you would get in an 80s TV show, and it still works. So, for example, the stunts are big, but they're not huge, okay? The stakes are low and local insofar as it's to do with this character in this TV show, in this movie set, what they're doing. The lead guy, just fun to watch. I liked Rygos. I think he's charming.
Yeah,
I think he's cool.
For sure.
And it doesn't have a complex plot. It doesn't have to have a complex plot. It is just about the movies in the industry, and there's so many kind of references. And there are a million references to, like, Farrah Fawcett and fucking Colt Siever and a lot of things that you probably went over your head because it was like referencing the old movie.
For sure.
TV show. So, yeah. So, totally loved TV show. So, yes, I loved it, Paul. I loved it. What did you think?
Look, I'm glad. I'm glad that you enjoyed your most anticipated film of the year. I get that privilege in a few weeks' time when Furiosa comes out.
Of course.
Which I'm very much looking forward to. I obviously not as high on it as
Of course. It was always going to be me.
I think this film does some really, really great stuff. And I think you're right that Ryan Gosling, if he wasn't already, and I think we knew this, we knew that Ryan Gosling is a star. Ryan Gosling is fantastic.
Charming as hell.
He is effortlessly, seemingly charming. But of course, there is no effortlessly charming. You've got to put work into it.
Of course.
Especially to convey that across the screen. He is impossible not to like
this
film.
You're right.
Very, very good. Very, very well played. He steals this movie as far as I'm concerned. Emily Blunt is good. She's always good, because especially when she plays, which is weird against type, because she is a gorgeous person.
Mm.
Looks-wise, I'm being a bit of a pig when I say this, but
no, we're not.
She is a traditionally beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But she plays awkward, bumbling, and vulnerable so well.
Yes, and that's what is good about this. She's a little bit a woman scorned in this movie, all right?
Yeah.
As a result, she's sort of like snippy, but the way they do that and the way they make it come off the screen is still very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
And that's the first half of this movie.
Yeah.
Where the film falls away for me is in the second half when the plot kicks into high gear. It's a really rote, average plot with a highly predictable moments that, in terms of if you don't know what's going on by one half of the way through this film, you're not paying attention. It's really apparent.
I think that's
really obvious, and it's a real weakness of this particular film. It's focusing on the gags. In the first half, there's lots of great gags between Colt and Jody, I think is Emily Blunt's character's name.
Yep.
And between Colt and the stunt coordinator guy played by Winston Duke.
Yep.
Who have some great geek out, you know, deep cut.
Oh, that's so cool. The references to movie.
References, yeah. Moments. You and I got most of them.
Yeah. If you're a movie fan, you should watch the movie because it's about movie fans.
Yes.
Right?
And look, at what this really is, bottom line, beyond all of that is, yes, I still think it's a rom-com, but with massive action beats.
Hmm.
It is an ode of appreciation to the stunt person.
Absolutely. And they on purpose show you over the credits the actual stunt people.
And they reinforce that in that meta way towards the end of the film. And of course, David Leitch himself is an ex-stunt coordinator / stunt person.
That he is.
Who's risen up through the ranks and now is a Hollywood director. So full credit to the film for doing that. I think it is a lovely ode to and appropriately respectful to an area of films which doesn't get a lot of love. Like, there's no Academy Award for Best Stunts.
Nope.
And they should be.
Literally, the theme song to the TV show is The Unknown Stuntman, because it's someone who's literally putting their life on the line, which no one else is doing.
To make Eastwood such a star.
Exactly. And then you never hear who he is. The only stuntman I know of, he or she, yes. Dar Robinson is a famous stuntman who in Bullet, this Burt Reynolds movie, he was the first guy.
Burt Reynolds? Bullet?
Bullet. Stephen McQueen. Sorry. It was a similar sounding movie. Anyway, he jumps off like a railing and starts firing a gun as he falls towards the floor, which you can tell there's no fucking mat. There's no like thing. That was the first sort of bungee jump that they did, but he pioneered that. That's the only stuntman I've ever heard of.
Well, there's that Zoe chick from Quentin Tarantino, Death Proof movie.
Yes, that would be the second
very,
one.
Very
but out of the millions of stunt people, those are the few I know. So
that's right. And it is a very largely anonymous career. And I think this film is a very loving appreciation and ode to them. So,
which is cool.
I liked it. I didn't like it. Love it as much as you.
Sure.
As I said, I think I have real problems with the plot in the second half and how stupid it becomes. I think it gets in its way towards the end of the film and it's so silly. The last half an hour is the worst part of this movie by a long, long way.
Really? Yeah. See, what I thought was...
the way they choose to wrap things up, which we'll get into in spoilers, I think was mishandled.
I'll probably give you that and say, yeah, you're right. But what I would say it did successfully is, this is my bias, I'm like, I'm choosing to enjoy this.
Yeah,
like,
sure,
it made the deal with me where I'm like, let's just show
this
me.
This is not,
just let it watch over me.
I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but this is not Mile 22 where you're so far off the fucking off base in terms of your interpretation of that film.
I'm going to watch that again.
This is, I get it. If you love this film, fine. If you can ignore its shortcomings, fine. It's a good enough film to warrant that at one level. For me, I kind of lost my way a little bit with it. And I think that's fine too, because it's not a perfect film by any stretch of imagination.
Well, no, and none of them are. But like, I think that, would you say though that it's at least well made enough to entertain you? You know what I mean? And I think that's what I like about it. It's only meant to entertain
you. Gosling and Blunt are together on screen, the film shines.
Yeah.
It's like I said, and when Gosling and Winston Duke are together on screen, also the film shines. Good. But in between, there's moments of ridiculously idiocy. Like the script just goes, oh, here's Stephanie Hsu's character, who happens to be a production assistant that we've glimpsed in the background, suddenly has integral information and gets kidnapped.
That's
like, what the fuck?
And I think, and look, that may be
bad writing.
That may be a bad comment.
Or bad editing, one of the two.
But that's how 80s TV shows are. This is like exposition thing. No, I know.
I think you're giving me way too much credit.
Yeah, yeah,
You can't make a throwback to 80s TV show with 2024 sensibilities and expect that to fly. It's gotta hit the marks now.
I would like I said, I've sort of conceded that. But for me, it worked, shall we say? Like, yeah, it's like, good. Yeah.
Can't knock that. That's fine. So overall, Wayne loves it. I like it. I don't think it's brilliant. And that's our general takes. But let's get into specifics, shall we, Wayne, on the other side of the spoiler drop.
You can't handle the truth.
And the truth is that Wayne, happy with his most anticipated film of the year, which is lovely.
One of the funny things is that, like, so we get this spoiler section here. There's not really that much to spoil.
Because the plot's shit.
But yeah, the plot is straightforward.
What we didn't say is the opening of this film, the film starts with one of the best one opener shots I can remember.
Can we talk about this?
That's so good.
And I found out he did actually do that. It was not actually. It was not the CGI.
Rai Gos, shall we say,
is walking.
Fuck off. I can add an extra syllable. You do all the time.
I know. I said Rai Gos because, you know, I'm just, you know, I roll like that.
That's shortening syllables, Wayne.
Yeah, but it's better. And also, it's me. So he's talking on the. It's a walk and talk. He's talking on the microphone on the walkie talkie with Emily Blunt. This is before they're still in love, whatever. They're having a flirty conversation. He's walking through.
What it's doing is establishing the stakes of this film. It's establishing that she and he are fully into each other. She is a camera operator. He is a stunt person.
Wasn't she a director?
No, she was not directing that.
She's
the subsequent film in the film, Metal Storm. That's her directorial debut.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense though, because they were obviously everyone knew that they were together and they didn't care. And they're
trying to hide it to some degree, but then they don't really care about that.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. Like, I bet you Hollywood is still one of those few places where it's like, yeah, those two are fucking and it's fine. Like, if you're in a workplace and two people are fucking, everyone knows it, and it's like, ooh, you know, this kind of thing. With Hollywood, it's like, yeah, well, he's an actor, and then people fucked actors, so I get that. You know, it's like, I don't know. It seemed that way. But this walk and talk, this one, he's walking through and he's getting, you know, he's going up an escalator and everything.
We set up so much stuff. We set up Aaron Taylor Johnson is the entitled movie star. Yes. We set up Hannah Waddingham as the producer/ he's producer of the film, but also similarly his agent, which is a weird. Is that, does that happen?
Well, I think the lines do cross, because if you work with a producer all the time, like Tom Cruise and Paula Wagner,
yes,
are producing partners, and he's the star as well. So it's like,
yeah, she's got his back.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, so probably not his agent, but acts that way.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you're in the same company, you form your own company Anyway, as he's talking with her, he's getting strapped into this rig, and they go and 3-2, and they.
Like, no, they said it didn't come out right. I could see too much of his face.
Yeah.
In the first one, so there's a different director.
So we had to do another take and that sort of thing. But then they, you know, the actual camera goes above him and you can see he's hanging over, like, you know, 20 stories or whatever, a big drop, and they go boom, and they actually have him drop. So he did actually
goes
do
to
it.
Black before
goes to black.
Where but he, you do he's see, hurt himself badly.
And, but he's really hanging out over that thing, and I would shit my pants personally.
So yeah, absolutely. Who fucking wouldn't?
Yeah, this is the thing, right?
It's acting. A great shot. It's a great opening. It really sets the stakes perfectly well. And from that injury now, he, as the film will explain, he can't bring himself to come back to being like the way that he was.
So
he runs away rather than going back to the woman that he has developed genuine, real close affection, maybe even love for at that stage.
Exactly.
And so when he gets asked to come to this film by Hannah Waddingham's character to be the key stunt person on...
Under the pretense that Emily Blunt
when she didn't and had no idea. And so then there's lots of moments. And again... good stunt play, car rolls, whatever number of times. I don't know if that really was a record. I haven't read about that yet. But
I've heard that it was, you know, previously it was the James Bond one in Casino Royale. We did that, mate. But like...
So rolls 8.5 times or whatever it is. Yeah.
Here's the bit that I like, right? So now that she realizes he's back on set, what the hell? I didn't ask her him. She gets pissed off, whatever. Yep. Then she starts making him do a stunt over and over.
That was cool. That was a great scene.
And she's like...
That's a rom-com scene through and through.
Absolutely. And it was beautiful because she's on the bullhorn giving him shit, saying, what would this character do really talking about? funny.
And then a really great extra who's just sitting there in his alien costume.
Yes.
Who's like, yeah, it's like when I slept with my wife's sister.
It was like, okay, cut. Really funny shit. So that's what I'm saying. All of the humor pretty much works, right? So
yeah, I think this is a funny film.
And can we not talk the unicorn? The unicorn in the background when he's high. I love that shit. It's like, oh, when you stop seeing unicorns, it's over. But then just randomly in a scene, you're like, I wonder if he's still high. And then you see a unicorn just come into the frame. Of the, like, that's funny shit.
Yep.
That's funny shit.
It wasn't bad.
So this is all good stuff here. It's just great ideas.
As you mentioned, the Winston Duke and he back and forth. It's like, last of the Mohicans, don't worry, where you go. I will find you. Yeah. And you and I are the only people in the theater laughing.
I know. There's like, one's like, ooh, these buckets.
So it's too deep cut for some people.
But here's the thing, though. I think
they didn't find it funny.
But
in which case, insane you.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, this is why I think my fondness for the film also comes to the filmmaker himself is going, this is for you, you fucking nerd who couldn't get a root in high school. You who love movies so much that you remember plots. This is for you, right?
I was like,
bitch, please. No, but like, it's this movie is for me and you. It's for people like us and you listening out there. Because if you're a movie buff, you remember shit that just was cool for movies. Most of these other people in the cinema didn't. Weren't like us, Paul.
We obviously reached the age now where we're older than most of the people at that
time. Yeah, and frankly, as a young man, I always saw old people humor and wished I got the reference because I'm like, oh, that must be from like The Deer Hunter or some movie that I hadn't seen when I was fucking four. Now we're those people, Paul. Yeah. So the young people are like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean, Rick Astley? I don't know. Whatever. Just any old references, they ain't going to get it. So there you are. That's what I think.
Here's my big qualm then.
Please.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yes.
Is third build in this cast, as he should be. He's a rising star. He's in a lot of shit these days. And maybe the new James Bond, depending.
He's craving the Hunter, yeah.
I don't think that's going to help him at all.
He's doing leads. I'm just saying.
He disappears from basically 65% of this film.
Yeah. That's on purpose.
Therefore, you know he's the bad guy. You know that whatever's going on here has something to do with him.
I don't think that was ever in doubt, though.
That's my point. It's a really simple... Yeah. Overly simple.
I would agree.
Predictable film. But the film treats his revelation like he is the bad guy with like, dun, dun, dun. And it just misses. It does. It absolutely does.
From the beginning where you see like, because after Colt gets the big accident, you see him going, yeah, like this.
There's a difference between being a cunt.
Yeah.
And being a murderer. Right?
I think what it is, like one of the plot points of the movie is that go find this guy. He's gotten mixed up with really seedy people. So yes. Everyone's got guns and shit. So he's probably a bad guy himself. It did not surprise me at all. And I thought they were setting it up for that to say like, yeah, he's a cunt and he's also mixed up in shit. He's not a person to be trusted.
But why do they play it like it was a revelation?
I don't know if they played it. Well, they played the Henry Waddington thing like it was a revelation.
That was also entirely predictable and terrible. Mm. I knew she was a bad guy from the moment that Emily Blunt didn't know she was coming in.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, again, I didn't mind. To me, I'm just sitting there going, what I wanted from this movie was I wanted to see Ryan Gosling jumping from shit and doing shit and having stuff and then quipping. And that's what I got. But I got it in spades, right?
Sure.
And then, like I said, the romantic aspect of it could have been inauthentic. It could have been played off, but it wasn't. Their chemistry was really good.
I think there's action beats in this movie, but it's not an act. There's not like, I'm trying to think of a comparable film. It's not like bloody, more like Collateral levels of action than there is.
Yeah. And I think, but you know, now that you mentioned that, right? You're right. There's sort three of or four dramatic action.
But even
yeah.
Two of the action scenes pretty much are him avoiding being stabbed or shot, particularly the stabbing one, where it's just like, oh, like if that's an action scene, you're stretching.
Yeah. Well, I think the two things I like about the film is that you've got the tough guy lead, but he's actually a bit of a wiener schnitzel. Like he's actually
normal
in love.
Human being.
Yeah, that's relatable. Like he's not. She's not treating. Like he's actually kind of getting his ass kicked by love, even though he's Ryan Gosling and he's a Spider-Man and he's. But like that's good, right? That's kind of cool. And then
he's very likable, like I said.
Very likable, and so down to earth. And then that's probably what. Made me sort of akin to the film, being a wiener schnitzel myself.
Aren't we all? Because you know, not that many of us have the capacity to kick 27 people's ass. Not that he does in this film at all. He gets his ass kicked most of the time.
But you know what? That's the second thing I like about the film. The fact that he's a stuntman gives him this odd superhero profile where it's like, oh yeah, that's right. If he gets punched in the face like four times, he'd be like fine with it, but a normal person wouldn't. But in other movies, we're expected to believe that. This guy's like, no, he can jump off shit and stuff. He's fine. So it's cool.
I also thought it got really silly in the final scene. So how do we clear Colt's name? I know, we'll do this action scene where we make Aaron Taylor Johnson's character drive over this bit, whatever, and get him to admit on mic that this is going on. And then the guys who are trying to find Winston Duke's character to kill him because he's the last loose end.
Can't find him anywhere.
Can't find him on the set where he's coordinating the fucking stunts.
I will give you that. It was ridiculous.
And then, oh, they're escaping in a helicopter. I buy him now going to do something stupid as a stunt person. And then the stunt crew under Winston Duke's direction, Dan, I think his name is, dragging the thing. And when he gets the fingers and he falls away. That was very cool. But, geez, we worked hard to get there.
I know.
Very silly.
And I will give you that. That whole third act, like kind of like the culmination thing, didn't really make sense. Again, I didn't care. I just wanted to see that jump. Because when he falls from the helicopter, that was a really elaborate fall.
Which we saw in the end credits.
The guy and the stuntman who was doing it, when you see the stuntman do it, he was just like, okay, here we go. He was just letting it happen. And I'm like, I would be crapping my Calvins. It'd be a line of shit. Of course,
but then we're not, you know.
Yeah, but it was so cool. It was so cool that the stuntman was actually that cool. He's like, fuck it, let me drop. You know, I'm like, wow. So very, very cool.
And then to really reemphasize the point, if we haven't made it already, during the end credits. So this is the other misstep. So it just fades out after he falls and we don't kind of see what happens. And then we get the ode to the stunt people on working on this film, mostly stuntmen, but occasional stunt woman. And then after that it goes, I can't remember what it says, meanwhile, previously, or something or other, little type comes across the screen.
Yeah.
And then we get the cameo from Lee Majors.
Lee Majors and Heather Locklear.
Who both of which look very plastic, particularly Heather Locklear.
She looked like she's been worked over. Lee Majors looked pretty good for his age, I thought. He's still obviously aging. So
this is what I don't understand. They're American. They don't even hide the American accents.
I know.
But they're playing, what were they? Private security?
I was laughing my ass off because they just didn't give a fuck.
Australian security?
They were these American pseudo police officers that would. Because the thing is, I was just happy to see them.
I know.
So I didn't give a fuck why they were there.
But it's like, come on now, film.
I wanted Howie to be there. He was the third member of the TV show.
Yes,
yeah.
He was kind of into Heather Locklear, right?
Everyone was into Heather Locklear, but yes.
Were those two a thing in the show?
Oh, I don't recall that being the case because he was always played for comedy relief. He would get some hoes, but he wouldn't get that one. So it's just like women. So it's like, yeah, it was. I stand resolute, motherfucker. Look, overall, absolutely adored it. I know you didn't, but I'm fine with it.
All right, then. Look, I think that's probably enough for this review. Yep. You got the flavor of it. Wayne is prepared to overlook all flaws for his most anticipated film of 2024.
When you love something, Paul, and I'm giving it an 84.
Wow!
Absolutely.
Holy shit.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm accelerating here. Time!
Wow.
Yeah, man. 84.
So this is your favorite film of the year?
I don't know. We'll see. The year ain't later.
Don't ask me hard questions, Paul. It's not like you do a fucking podcast about films where you rank them against each other.
Well, no,
Is it the best film of the year? I don't fucking know.
I can't remember what I saw the rest of this year. I have to think about it. But let's just
Letterboxd is your friend.
I'm not looking at Letterboxd now, Clit Ring. I'm just saying.
You don't fucking log them anyway.
But if I did, I'd then go, maybe. But like, to answer your question, so far it's the best time I've had at the movies. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Country?
Yeah, it's 66.
66, yeah, fair enough.
Bit anticlimactic, but nowhere near as high on this bad.
Oh, yeah. Everyone, go see The Fall Guy, okay? I fell for it. What? Now, if we... Oh, yeah. To be fair, that was earned.
It's terrible.
Oh, Jesus.
What did you think once you're allowed to see it in America? We never get to say that.
Yeah. We still haven't gotten the Ministry of Gentlemanly.
No one from America has listened to this point of the episode. So now that you've finally caught up to us.
Yes.
Welcome.
Don't expect this too often.
This is like the moment when the team that's on bottom of the ladder beats the team higher on the ladder and just crows about it all week fucking long.
Absolutely.
Or probably all season long.
Except they earned it and we didn't. Yeah.
Exactly. You're still in front. Don't worry. But nevertheless, we're going to hold on to this particular moment.
Exactly. It's the only film.
What did you think? Let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. And please hit us up on the Facebook community where most of the chatter about shit goes down with the podcast and where most of the cool people hang out.
Yeah. Damn right.
You were going to be dismissive and then you went, hang on, he said something good.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, fair enough. I expected nothing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Without any further ado, my name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Whoa, hold on.
When Wayne gives away the best film of the year way too early.
Wait a minute, I just thought of something. You know the theme song that you were going to go out on?
Yes.
I was hoping Ryan Gosling would sing it like Knee Major did in the original one. Yeah. They had some other guy sing it, and when I was listening to it, he changed the lyrics. There's no more.
No, we're going with original.
Original. Okay. Original. Go original.
On that note, listen to that. Good night. I might fall from